Okay, so today's shiur is going to be about making hamotzi primarily. We're going to talk about cutting bread, both on Shabbos and during the week, how one would do it, how one would do it differently on Shabbos, and other halachos that come up. An interesting question I hope we could get to is if you're having a bagel, should you cut the bagel first and put the cream cheese on it, or first put the cream cheese on and then make the bracha? So a bunch of interesting questions. So we'll start with the first source over here. It's a Tosos and Brachos. The Gemara says that the Hilchos HaKarava de Mevarech B'achar Kach Botzea, which sounds like you first make the bracha and then you do Betzia. What is Betzia? Betzia means breaking the bread. So if I read the Gemara Kepshuto, I would think that means you first you make your Hamotzi Lachman Haaretz, and then you cut the bread and then you eat it. Tosfos, we'll see in a second, is going to reject that view. So let's take a look in Tosfos. Perush. Shalo Yafresh Aprusa. Share the screen. Yeah, sure, I could share. Okay. Share screen. Okay, is that better? Great. Okay, so let me just move it so I can see it. Okay, so Tosfo says in your second source, this is overwhelming my computer a little bit, but I think I got it to work. Tosfo says that what it means, it does not mean what we thought it means. In other words, it doesn't mean that you should first make your hamotzi and then cut the bread. Rather, what it means is, that you should partially cut the bread and then make hamotzi and then fully cut the bread. For those who just came, we're talking about the halachos of making hamotzi and cutting bread and how you do it. So Tosfo says that you should first partially cut the bread, then you make hamotzi, and then you should complete the breaking of the bread. V'yesh nogin, shenogin levarach berkas hamotzi kodem, shiachtoch, kedei shetei hapash lema b'shas bracha. Some people do the opposite. They first make hamotzi and only then cut the bread. Veina minag nachon, that's incorrect. Lasos daveyas achadas. Veina bracha lachila. We're supposed to minimize the gap between the bracha and the eating. So if you don't cut the bread until after your hamotzi, there's going to be a gap. At the same time, if you fully cut it beforehand, that's not correct because you're supposed to make a bracha on a whole loaf when possible. If you have a whole loaf, that's better than making it on a partial loaf. So therefore, the solution, Toso says, is to partially cut it, make hamotzi, and then fully cut it. However, Tosos continues, you should actually first make the bracha and then cut the bread. Because what might happen is if you partially break it before, you might fully break it before, and then you won't have lecha mishnah. It could even be what Tosfos means is something slightly differently than what I was saying. It means you should even cut it and hold it together and then separate it. But either way, the point is that on Shabbos, that we're afraid that you might break the whole loaf. And therefore, the way to do it on Shabbos is first you make hamotzi and then you cut it. That's the view of Tosfos. Tosfos then adds something that's important. And he says that you don't cut while you're making the bracha. And you shouldn't even cut while other people are saying amen. Rather, you should begin cutting, let's say on Shabbos, this is more common because that's when people tend to cut bread. During the week, people often eat sliced bread. You should not cut the bread until everybody said amen. Why not? Because amen is part of the bracha. And therefore, just like you shouldn't cut in the middle of the bracha, you shouldn't cut even while they're saying amen. So you only start cutting on Shabbos after they have made the amen. Now, Tosfos didn't tell us how much you should cut during the week. He just simply told us that during the week, you should partially cut beforehand. On Shabbos, don't partially cut beforehand. The Rush does tell us how much we should cut during the week. Now, there's a little bit of a difference between the Rush and Tosfos. The Rush does not distinguish between Shabbos and during the weekday. The Rush also has some other differences. He thinks it's an issue of Hefsek, not Hashadas, which we won't focus on now. But the Rush, which is the next source, if you take a look where it's bolded, says, I'll tell you how much you should cut before the bracha. We're looking for an amount that the bread is still considered whole, but nevertheless will minimize the hefsek. So what is that? So the Rush says, if I cut enough, just a little bit, such that when I pick up the prusa, when I pick up the cut piece, then the whole rest of the loaf will also go up. It won't break. So then it's still considered whole. If, though, I cut enough that when I pick up the prusa, when I pick up the cut piece, the rest of the loaf will break off, then it's no longer considered shalim. So therefore, how much should you cut before hamotzi? Enough that if you pick up the prusa, the whole bread will come up. Now that will depend, obviously, on how big the bread is and how heavy it is and how strong it is. You know, for some things, a bagel. So if you cut it 75%, it'll be okay. You pick it up, and the whole thing will come up. It won't break. Other types of challahs might fall apart if you do even a pretty small cut. So it all is going to depend on the nature of the bread. Now, the Rush, as I said, does not distinguish between Shabbos and during the week. But in the Shulchan Aruch, we take a look at the next source. At least the Ramah does. So how do we paskin? So look at the next source. Shulchan Aruch says that how should you cut the bread? V'tzarch lach toch ma'at. You should cut it such that if you pick up the cut piece, the rest of the loaf will come up along with it. Because otherwise it's considered pre-cut. Leave it attached to the bread. And then you make your hamotzi. And then after you complete the bracha, you break the bread. You totally separate it. Kedei shetchala bracha bo chapas shalim. Haga. On Shabbos, you don't cut it at all until after the bracha. So that it'll be whole for lachem mishnah. If you do it like you did during the week, it's not a big deal. So according to this, as I said, it's most common on Shabbos because most of us aren't cutting loaves of bread during the week. So on Shabbos, the way you would do it is you don't cut it at all till after the bracha, and then you cut it only after the bracha. Now, you might have seen people that they go ahead and they make like a little mark on the bread on Shabbos before they make the hamotzi. What's that from? So it's an idea that comes from the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah. You see it in the Mishnah Berurah in the next source. He writes, and not over here actually, but in Hilchos Shabbos, Reisha and Dalet of Katan Hey, Mamedakta Kim Regilim Lershon Besakim Kodim Bracha. The medaktikim, people that are careful, they are roshim, they make a little sign with the knife before the bracha. Why would they do that? So there are a number of reasons, but the pashtus is to minimize the hefsek, so they know exactly where to cut. What do I mean, know exactly where to cut? So if we look at the Shulchan Aruch, and here we'll have to go down to later, because I didn't put it on atop, but over here. So in the part of the Shulchan Aruch that I actually left out originally, where it says a Sif Aleph, So the Shulchan Aruch says that which part of the bread should you cut from? You should cut from the best part of the bread. Well, what is the best part of the bread? So there's actually a debate in the Gemara exactly how to read this, but this is what the Shulchan Aruch says. Botzeah bepas b'makom shenefa hetev. You should break the bread or cut the bread in the part that it's cooked best. And then there's a whole discussion what this means, and the Ramah talks about what it means for us. I think you could make the case that with our bread, this halacha isn't relevant, certainly not with bakery bread. In other words, the bread that they were talking about was not evenly cooked. And therefore, usually the most well-done part of the bread is the best part. There's a discussion, do you do with the bottom of the bread? Do you do the top of the bread? In fact, there's a story in the Gemara about this. The story is that one of the Moraim was making fun of King Menashe, who was an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. So Menashe said, I'll ask you a shaila, see what you know. And he comes to him in a dream, and he asks him the question of where is the proper place to cut the bread. And he didn't know the answer. And Menashe tells him, if you were around when I was around, you would have been picking up the hem of your robe to run to do Avodah Zarah. In other words, you would have been so overwhelmed with the desire. The Maharal explains that even sort of the natural inhibitions that you might have that slowed you down, namely they don't trip over your own garment, even those would have been removed. You wouldn't have even allowed that. So, but what does that mean for us? As I said, I think for us, bakery bread certainly is basically evenly distributed in terms of its baking. So some people try to cut it on the side, so they get the top and the bottom, let's just call it deos. I don't really think that you need to do this. So therefore, since basically anywhere you want to cut is good, so you don't need to bother being rosh and chila. In fact, I think that people lose a lot of time because if they cut it on a random place and if they sort of make the rishima with the knife and then they cut it in a different place, they've accomplished nothing. And if they make the rishima and then they try to find that same spot, that adds to the hafsik, not reducing it. So I don't know if there's that much of a point in doing this nowadays. Okay, so again, on Shabbos, you make the bracha first and then you cut. That is the psak of the Ramah. And that's what we should do. Now, during the week, however, we should partially cut it first. So let's say, for example, you're at a bar mitzvah or a wedding or the like, and there are rolls. So you're going to cut the roll. Sometimes, especially, they're very big rolls. So what you do is before you make the bracha, you cut it partially. Usually with these rolls, you could cut it more than halfway. You make your emotzi, and then you finish cutting it. What if you didn't? What if you waited even during the week? Let me ask you a different question. If in fact it is a hefsek to make the bracha first and then cut it, like we saw in Tosos in a rush, right? Now there's really, you're supposed to partially cut first. Why isn't it a hefsek on Shabbos? Right? If it's a hefsek during the week, shouldn't it be a hefsek on Shabbos? So the answer, I think, is that something is only considered a hefsek if it could be avoided. So if you could avoid this, then it's a hefsek. If you can't or shouldn't avoid it, it's not a hefsek. So therefore, on Shabbos, since it's better not to avoid this, because we're afraid of losing Lacha Mishnah, so it's not a hefsek. During the week, when there's no inyan of Lacha Mishnah, so then it would be a hafsek. Whether it's ma'akev or not is a machlokas. The Mishnah Berurah thinks it's not ma'akev, it's just a recommendation. But the point is, and this is an important point, we'll see more about this later. What's considered a hafsek? We know you can't be mafsek between the bracha and eating. Well, what's a hafsek? So if I say a dvar Torah, that's a hafsek. If I say, please pass the salt, it's not a hafsek. Why? Because I need the salt. That's better to bring the salt before you make the hamotzi. But let's say you forgot to say that before the hamotzi and you want to put salt on the bread. then you could say it afterwards. Or the Gemara even says that since you're supposed to feed your animals before you eat, if you made hamotzi and you realized, I forgot to feed the animals, you could say, gavel l'turei, go feed the animals. Why? How could you make a hafsek between a bracha and eating? The answer is, because since you need to feed the animals before you eat, it's machlokas, is that a din d'oraisa, or is it just a d'rabbanan or a positive practice? But either way, it's appropriate. So therefore, it's not a hafsek. So the same thing over here. Since during the week, on Shabbos, it is better not to cut it first, then cutting it afterwards isn't considered a hafsek. Okay. So now we know what to do during the week and we know what to do during Shabbos. Now, the next question is, how much should you cut off? So enough if you're eating alone. So enough for you to eat. During the week, you don't want it to be a very big piece. We'll see shortly. You don't want it to be bigger than a beitza because that makes you look like a glutton, like a ravson. On Shabbos, you could cut off a piece big enough for the whole meal because since during the week, a person doesn't take a big piece, if they just take a big piece on Shabbos, it doesn't look like they're a glutton. It doesn't look like they're a pig. It doesn't look like they're a ravson. It looks like they're trying to be fulfill mitzvahs oneg Shabbos, right? In other words, taking a big piece, holding on to a big piece, that looks gluttonous, except, again, on Shabbos. It's sort of interesting. I wonder if that's something which is objective or it depends on the time. What do I mean to say? So is it wrong to take a bite out of a bagel? Bagels are well over a beitza, especially if you start putting in cream cheese and tomatoes and lox. So are you a ravson if you take a bite out of a bagel that's bigger than a beitza? So based off of what it says in the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara, you are. Nowadays, it's considered normal. So maybe you're not a ravson. I'm not sure. I remember my Israeli roommates when I was in yeshiva in Israel would make fun of Americans for being so gluttonous. And they always would say that Americans, everything needs to be big. They thought it reflected a lack of tznius. I remember my roommate making fun of me. He said, even the shampoo of Americans is big. He made fun of the Americans that would bring these Costco-sized shampoos from America to Israel. He made fun of them also because, like, why do you need to bring shampoo from America? Which is a good point. And then he'd also said, like, why does your shampoo bottle need to be so big? You should have tznius. And the Americans were all like, what are you talking about? Tznius in a shampoo bottle? But they found it very, offensive to have these big things. So the same thing here is in Shulchan Aruch when it comes to the size of the piece of bread you're eating during the week. You shouldn't bite into a piece bigger than an abeitza. I had a Rebbe who he took us to pizza and he ate the pizza with a fork and a knife. And because he thought that to take a bite into a whole piece of pizza, that's like being a ravson. He made sure to eat it with a fork and a knife. Kavada Adam, godless Adam, a chashev person, a b'nei malachim wouldn't eat pizza by taking a bite out of it. So he thought that was inappropriate. I don't know. That's definitely a beautiful midah and something one should aspire to. What I meant to say, I don't know if nowadays you would be considered a ravson if you take a bite out of a bagel. I'll call upon him. So how much do I cut on Shabbos? So if we take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, where it says Kuf Samach Zayin Yud Dalet, I'll bold it. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that you should cut enough for everybody to get a kezias. So let's say there are five people at your meal, so you should at least cut a piece that's five kezesim off. So let's read the Mishnah Berurah, Peirush. She'ikur ha-mitzvah l'chatchila k'shemotzi acher midecho v'asan, l'aseis lechem me'aprusa shechatach l'chol echad ve'echad mehem. The ikur mitzvah is to give from the piece which you're upon which you made the bracha, upon which you were botzeya, a kezias to everybody. The lomen alechem anisha, not to give them from the remaining bread. So your first cut should be big enough that it will have enough pieces. So what does that mean? So again, if it's there are five people, I should, when I first cut the bread, I should cut a big enough piece that is at least five kezesim or so, to at least to give everybody kezias, and you know, at Shabbos to give them bigger pieces. So what does that mean? It means that I should just first cut off a single slice of bread for myself. Now you might have said, well, this again adds to the delay, because what this means essentially is I have to make two cuts before I eat. I make my emotzi, then I cut off a piece that has enough for everybody, and then I cut off a piece from the piece for me to eat. So yes, it does add, it does delay, but that's okay, because as we saw before, any delay that's necessary is okay. It's not a hefsek unless it's an unnecessary delay. And since this is a necessary delay, that's the right thing to do. The next source over here, the Gemara says, "Ana botei rishai l'tzoa ad shiaviu melach oliftam l'fnei kol echad v'echad." So you should make kamotzi only after you have salt or liftan, which is that which you're going to dip it in, dip into it before everybody. Now, you don't need salt on our bread, the Shulchan Aruch says, because our bread, generally speaking, is pre-salted, it's spiced. But if you're going to want to put salt or hummus or cream cheese or something on your bread or bagel, then you should have that available when you make the bracha. The Mishnah Berurah writes, Chath Zayin, Kedei Shetei Necheles Betam. You made the bracha on this bread, you should eat it in a way that tastes good. Mishum Kavod HaBracha. Now there's, even though it's edible without the tchina or whatever you're going to put on it, but it's Kavod HaBracha to eat it in a way that tastes best. And therefore, you should put the bread on, you should put the liftan on it before you eat. Before you eat it. So you make your hamotzi and you break the bread, you dip it in your liftan, and then you eat. And you don't want to, if you don't have it in front of you, then you'd have to be matzik and say, please pass the hummus. That's not l'chatchila appropriate. Again, b'di'evit, it's not a hefsek because it's sarach habracha, but l'chatchila you shouldn't do it. And therefore, the best thing to do is to have it available. If you look at the Ritva below, it's quoted here in the Shita Mekubetzes, he says, Perish enen ru'uyin l'achol kodem l'chein. Sounds like a little bit he's talking about a situation where it's inedible without it. But still, the Mishnah Berurah says, because of kavod habracha, it's the right thing to do. Now, if you take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan, he adds something that's interesting. This is Aruch HaShulchan in Simen Reish Beis, Sif Yud Aleph. So obviously you shouldn't make a bracha until the food's in front of you. It should be ready to eat. In other words, you don't want to make the bracha on something before it's ready to eat, because then you have to be mafsik. Kigon, she'ochal agozim, oshkedim, lo yivarach ad sheyishbar es ha'egos, harishon. So if you're having a nut, first crack the nut before you make the bracha, so that the cracking of the nut isn't mafsik between the bracha and achila. V'lo dami l'chitach ha'pas, shegomer chitach achar bracha ha'motzi. But didn't we say that you should first make ha'motzi and then cut it? De'bisham ha'pas ha'ochal galu l'fana v'gomer chitach hu kirega. Because that cutting only takes a moment. So I asked before, what's the halacha? If you're having a bagel with cream cheese, how should you do it? Should you make the hamotzi and then cut it and then put on the cream cheese? Or should you cut it, put on the cream cheese, and then make hamotzi? So even though we saw before that you shouldn't cut it before Hamotzi, certainly you shouldn't completely cut it before Hamotzi, and we also saw that after the Hamotzi, you should put the cream cheese on. So therefore, maybe you would think the best thing to do is make Hamotzi, cut it, put the cream cheese on, and then eat it. But the Aruch HaShulchan sounds like he's saying that's a bad idea. It's one thing to just cut the bread. That takes a second. But something that's going to be a whole asek to cut the bagel and to spread the cream cheese and to put on the lox and all that, that's too much. And therefore, you shouldn't do that in between the hamotzi and the eating. So I guess, technically speaking, if you want your bagel to be all like that, you should probably do it before you make the hamotzi. But what I recommend doing is I make, since there's a myla of making hamotzi on a shalim, again, it's not absolutely necessary during the week, but it's certainly preferable when you have the option. So I make the hamotzi on the whole bagel. I have the cream cheese in front of me. I put it on a plate, let's say. And then I break the bread, or finish breaking the bread, dip it in a cream cheese and eat it. That doesn't take very long. And then if you want to make the rest of it into a fancy sandwich, you could. I don't think you have to do that, but you can. The truth is, this question is debated in the Beis Yosef, in Siman Kuf Samachas. It's a debate between Rabbi Yerucham and the Beis Yosef, but I think we're not going to go into that right now. Instead, I want to take a couple minutes to go through the basics of these halachos and add some points that we didn't really get to yet. So when you're, we'll skip that because we did that already. So the halacha is that when you make your hamotzi, it's important to say hamotzi lechem min haaretz. You should pause between the word lechem and min. Hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Why? Because the two letters are both mem. Lechem min. And if you say it quickly, if you don't pause, it sounds like hamotzi lechem min haaretz. It's one word. And it's two words. This is true always in all tefillah and all bracha. But the Shulchan Aruch mentions it over here because the Gemara explains that it's based off Yerushalmi. We'll get there. Okay. A person should be holding the bread when they make the bracha on. Now, it's always true you should hold your food when you make a bracha, any food. If you're having an apple, you should hold the apple when you're making the bracha. However, over here, there's a special inyan to hold the bread, or on Shabbos, the breads, with your 10 fingers. So you put your whole hand, both hands, 10 fingers on the bread. Why? Because your 10 fingers are keneged the pasuk. There's a bunch of pasukim that is keneged, but one of them is the pasuk, which is the basis for the bracha, the lashon of hamotzi lechem min haaretz, because the pasuk says matzmiach hatir lebehema ve'esav la'adam lahotzi lechem min haaretz. So that's 10 words, and it's connected, the 10 fingers, and therefore we're makbid. There are other the pasuk enei kol elach isaber is also 10 words. The pasuk etzchitel sorah is also 10 words. The pasuk v'itin lecha elokim mital shemani aretz is 10 words. So that's why we hold the bread with our 10 fingers when we say the bracha. We mentioned before that you don't need to put salt on your bread if your bread has salt in it already. But the Rama writes, it's still a mitzvah l'haniach al kol shulchan melach. It's a mitzvah to have salt on the table because the shulchan is domel mizbeach, and the achila is like a karban. And the pasuk says, "I'll call karban chatak with melech." It's also megid min haperanios, and this is stated not just on Shabbos but also during the week, though people seem to be more careful about it on Shabbos. So you should immediately eat And there's halacha for any bracha, not just tamotzi. If you make a shahakol or a mezonos, you should make sure not to be mafsik between the end of the bracha and the achila. That's what he writes in Sifaf over here. Now, this, and what if you talked? In other words, you made your mezonos and then you talked before you ate. So you have to make a new bracha unless your interruption somehow relates to the inyan of bracha, like we said before. Now, the Mishnah Brura over here emphasizes that when we say you have to eat, that means you have to swallow before you talk. This is something that people sometimes forget. Sometimes we're running around when we eat. We make a bracha, we put it in our mouth, and we start talking before we swallowed. This is a big problem. Also, we start walking before we swallow. The Mishnah Brura that says that also could be an issue if you go outside, let's say you leave the house between the bracha and eating. Make sure to swallow first before you talk or start leaving. What about if b'di'eved you didn't? In other words, b'di'eved, you ended up talking before you swallowed. Do you have to make a new bracha? So the Mishnah Brura says, on the one hand, it sounds like you should have to make a new bracha. Why? Because the bracha is on the eating, not on the putting the food in your mouth. How do I know? Because let's say you wanted to taste something and you weren't planning to swallow. You don't need to make a bracha. So therefore, you see that just tasting something doesn't require a bracha. What requires a bracha is only swallowing. So if you haven't swallowed at all, you should have to make a new bracha. On the other hand, the Mishnah Brura says, well, maybe in the event that you are planning to swallow, so then even the eating, the chewing without the swallowing is considered part of the achila. It's considered the beginning of the achila. And therefore, b'di'eved, you wouldn't have to make a new bracha, especially if you swallowed, even if you didn't swallow the food, you at least taste, you like some of the spit in your mouth had the food flavor in it. So b'di'eved, it sounds like if you talked before you swallowed, you probably would not make a new bracha because of safek brachos l'hakel. Take a look at Shartzian over here, Sif Katan Lamed. But one should really try to avoid that question. It's very important, therefore, too. Make sure you don't talk before you swallow. So continuing in the Shulchan Aruch, so the halacha is that the Baal HaBayis should be Botei. Who's the Baal HaBayis? Whoever is the sort of in charge of the meal. Why? Sometimes we're mechabed a guest to do something. You might be mechabed a guest, for example, to lead the Zimun. Why should the Baal HaBayis be the one to make them Motzi? So the answer is because we want them, if you invite the guest to make the Motzi, so the guest won't necessarily be so generous, because it's not the bread, it's not theirs. So therefore, you know, it's very nice, not so nice to be generous with other people's food. So therefore we ask the Baal HaBayis, the Baal HaBayis should make the bracha, so he'll be able to give out generous pieces. Okay, so let's take a look at the next source, which is the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Ayin Daled, which just tells us a couple of additional things that are relevant for Shabbos. So on Shabbos, as we said, because of Lechem Mishnah, you have two loaves, and you should hold both of them when you make the bracha, but on Friday night, you cut from the bottom one. Now, this is a debate, actually, among the Rishonim, how to read the Gemara. According to the Rashba and the Gra, you should really make a bracha, you should cut both loaves. But we don't paskin that you need to do that. Some people like to do that. It's a nice thing. But really, you only need to cut from one bread, one loaf. And on Friday night, it should be the bottom one. And Shabbos day and Shal Shabbos, it should be the top one. Now, there's a little bit of an issue because if the bottom one is further away, so in Ma'avir Na'al Mitzvos, we don't like to pass over mitzvos. So there are different solutions to this problem. The easiest one is to have the bottom loaf a little closer to you. So when you're making your hamotzi, you hold the two loaves of bread. The bottom one should be a little closer to you. And then you make, then you'd cut the bottom one. And then Shabbos day, the opposite, you'd cut the top one. Okay, sif beis mitzvah leftov a Shabbos prusa gadola shtas b'klal suda. Like we said before, you should cut big pieces and after the whole meal, because that shows you a chavivas of the mitzvah. And if you just do it on Shabbos, you don't look like a glutton.
Sorry, why was that again? Why do you do the bottom one at night and why the top one during the day?
I didn't tell you the reason. I just said that you do it. There are different reasons given, some al pi Kabbalah, about the different symbolisms of what Shabbos Friday night means, what Shabbos day means. So I didn't say a reason. Let's see, does the Mishnah Brura even give a reason? No, he doesn't give a reason either. So, whatever the reason is, I'll pick Kabbalah. Okay. Sif Gimel says, "Ena mesubin rishayin litom ad sheyitom avotzeya." So, if one person's making a motzi for everybody, so they should not taste the bread until the person who made hamotzi tastes it. Now, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it would be okay to hand out the bread to everybody beforehand, and then the botzeya, as long as the person who made the hamotzi eats first, that would be fine. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes from others who say, well, that's not right, because why should you hand out all the bread before the botzeya eats? Since anyway, they have to wait for him, so that's going to be an unnecessary hefsek. So therefore, the better thing to do is that the botzeya will take a bite from his piece and then hand out the bread to everybody else, and then they could bite from theirs. However, if everybody has their own lecha mishnah, then that wouldn't be necessary. They wouldn't have to wait. The same thing would be true also for the wine. If everybody has their own wine, they don't have to wait for the person making kiddush to drink. Otherwise, they have to wait for the person making kiddush to drink, and therefore it makes more sense for him to drink before he hands out the wine to everybody to minimize the hefsek.
In that situation, which one is better? Because usually people don't fill their cups all the way to the top. Does it matter kol shel bracha is filled and everybody else is not?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think that everybody needs a shear in that case, because there is the kiddush is still being made on a coast that has a revius. And therefore, it's okay for the other. So it's not a problem. We don't need everybody to have a kos that has a revius. As long as the Mekadesh has a kos that's a revius, then they could drink before him. Just one second. So the Mishnah Berurah over here says, I have to look in Kiddush if he says something different. The Mishnah Berurah over here in Siman Reish Ayin Dalid Sifkatan Ches writes, for Lacha Mishnah, wrote to Lomar, Ve'az Afal Pishu Motzim Bever Faso Yecholim Litom Kodem Lo. So if everybody has Lecha Mishnah, so then they don't have to wait for him to eat. They could eat before him. Avalm ein lefnei kol echad Lecha Mishnah, afal pi shekol echad kikaro, shekol echad kikro, sheyocha mimenu hu lefanav. Everybody has a role, let's say, in front of them, but they don't have Lecha Mishnah. So then, kulam tzvicham lismoch al avotzeya sheyesh lefanav Lecha Mishnah. Then they rely on him for Lecha Mishnah, and therefore they shouldn't eat beforehand. So I think what you're saying, if this is what you meant before, makes sense, which is that if all the people have their own cup of wine, but they don't have a revius in their cup of wine, then they're relying on the revius of the Mekadesh, and therefore they should wait for the Mekadesh to drink first. Whereas if everybody does have their own revius, then they don't have to wait for him. Let's say for this comes up at the Seder, where at least some people have the custom that everybody has their own cup of wine, which is a revius, but only one person makes Kiddush. So in that case, they don't have to wait for the Mekadesh to drink. But if everybody has a little cup of wine, so which isn't a revius, so then they should wait for the Mekadesh to drink before they drink their little cup of wine. That's what I think it sounds like from this Mishnah Berurah. Again, Mishnah Berurah is talking about Lacha Mishnah, but the same idea I think would be true for Kiddush. Does that make sense, Leva?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, good. Any other questions? Okay. Be'ezras Hashem, I guess we'll pick up next week. Have a good night.
Can I ask another question, actually?
Sure.
When it comes to having to actually swallow before talking, is that also true? It's not really totally related, but kind of related. So let's say somebody ate meat and they accidentally put dairy in their mouth afterwards at some point, forgetting that they didn't wait hours, but let's say even 1 hour, because do rice, let's say. Would they...
rice isn't 1 hour. Do rice, you only usser when you cook them together.
Oh, interesting. What if somebody realized only after, I guess, after a certain amount of, like, they didn't swallow it, though?
Right.
Well, they're on it.
So I offhand, I'm not 100% sure. I remember seeing the discussion, and I do seem to remember something along the lines of what you were saying, which is if it's just alts minhag, so then you should taste a tiny amount and swallow a tiny, tiny amount. But if it's aser medina, even if it's derabanan, but if it's aser medina, then you shouldn't swallow it at all. And I guess you would say baruch shem kavod. So what is considered a minhag? So the Gemara says that this is probably machlokas harishonim, but the way Ashkenazim assume is that medina, that means that you have to either have cleaned out your mouth or recited birkas, or recited birkas hamazon or bracha achrona. So that would mean that if your mouth is basically, if your mouth is clean, meaning there's no meat residue, noticeable meat residue left in the mouth, and you've already said a bracha achrona, but it's not yet 6 hours, then I think it might be that you should swallow a tiny amount. But to Blin Eder, I'll double check that for next week if that's correct. There's actually another halacha that I forgot to mention. The Rama over here says that you should give, when you're giving out the bread, you should give everybody a kezias. So some achronim understand that to mean that hamotzi, you have to eat a kezias. But why? You could make a hamotzi. If you even want to eat it one crumb of bread, you would make hamotzi. I mean, you wouldn't make al-ntil sedayim, but you would make a hamotzi. So why is it that if you are... you have to give out a kezias to everybody. So the Mishnah Berurah says you don't actually have to, it's just you should give out a kezias to be generous. Magen Avraham sounds like you should eat a kezias. It's not clear why. There are different reasons given. He has a diuk like that from Hilchos Pesach, because it says that you're supposed to eat two kezasim of matzah at the Seder, one because of the hamotzi and one because of the al-chilas matzah. It shows you that a hamotzi does require kezias. The Dagomir Vava says that you should make sure to eat a kezias, because if you don't eat a kezias, the hamotzi won't cover the foods that you eat subsequently. It only covers the rest of the meal if you first ate a kezias before being mafsik. So we recommend we pass like the Mishnah Berurah, you don't have to eat a kezias, and if you ate just a little bit and you ate more later, you could continue eating. But the Mishnah Berurah does recommend that l'chatchila, the best thing to do for hamotzi is to eat a kezias at the beginning of the meals. You shouldn't just on Shabbos, after you get your piece of challah, don't just have a little bite. The best thing to do is first to have a kezayis initially, though it's not ma'akev. Okay.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Uh-huh. One sec. I'm just ending.